It's good to see you, church family. Let's keep our Bibles opened here, and let me begin in a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be gathered together as a church family today. Lord, we so need the fellowship that we can provide one another. Lord, we need to hear one another singing and praying and reading your word. Lord, we need to study your word together to mine out its truths. Lord, we don't take this opportunity for lightly, Lord. In fact, we never will again. Lord, we also thank you for those who are watching online. Pray your every blessing on them. Pray that they would profit from listening to your word as it is preached. And Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in them as well. Lord, we long for the day when all of the concerns over the virus are gone and everyone can feel free to rejoin us. Until that day, Lord, give us patience and grace. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our lives during this hour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the book of 1 Kings, there's a fascinating story from the life of King Solomon. His father, King David, has just died, and he has assumed the throne. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, God appears to Solomon in a dream. And God essentially says this to Solomon, "Tell me what you want from me." Solomon thinks about that. Then he replies in this way. He says, "God, give me wisdom so I can be a good king." And just think of that for a moment. God's statement was open-ended, meaning that Solomon could have asked for power or wealth or long life. He could have asked for anything he wanted. But what he wanted was wisdom from God. He saw wisdom as the most valuable gift he could receive. Now, what is wisdom? Well, according to the Bible, wisdom is very similar to the idea of skillfulness at something. In fact, the Hebrew word for wisdom can be translated as skillfulness or wisdom, depending on the context. So in Exodus 35, for example, the word is used to describe the skill of an artist. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, it's used of the skill of a goldsmith. In Psalm 107, the word describes the navigational skills of a sailor. When Solomon asks God for wisdom, what he was asking for was skillfulness in living and leading. So that is wisdom, skillfulness in living and leading. What a great request for a king to make. But you know, it isn't just kings who need God's wisdom. It is every man and woman and boy and girl who has ever lived. We all need the wisdom of God. Especially in a world as difficult and complex as ours. We need God's wisdom for choosing good friends. We need his wisdom for choosing the right marriage partner and then for sustaining a healthy marriage over the long term. We need God's wisdom to know the best way to raise our children and to manage our finances for career decisions. We need God's wisdom to know what to do on election day when we head into that voting booth. We need God's wisdom to figure out what voices we should heed and what voices we should ignore in the middle of this pandemic. See, in short, we need the wisdom of God for navigating all the issues of our lives. And we need this because by nature, we are not wise. See, by nature, we have two liabilities. We are finite and we are fallen. Say we're finite means that we don't know everything, right? We are limited people. And so we need a greater mind than ours, namely the mind of God, to come and supply what we are lacking in knowledge. And we're also a fallen people. That means we have this sin nature. And even after you've come to faith in Christ, you still have the vestiges of that nature lingering within you. And so we are not naturally inclined to live wisely. We're inclined toward things that are ugly or foolish instead. And so we need the wisdom of God to know how to skillfully live out our lives, how to skillfully lead others in godly ways. And so that's what this book is for. Now, this is my first sermon from this book, so it's just going to be an introductory message. Let's start with the nature of this book. What is its nature? Well, you'll notice from the title and from the first verse, this book is a collection of proverbs. Now, proverbs are short, pithy sayings designed to convey truths about life. In short, they're little sayings designed to unveil wisdom to you. There are just under 1,000 of these little sayings in this book, covering every conceivable aspect of life and stretched out over the span of 31 chapters. These proverbs come to us from the hand of history's most insightful man. Look again at verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." This is the man who asked God for wisdom back in 1 Kings chapter 3. And the Bible teaches us that God answered Solomon's request in spades. God made Solomon the wisest man who had ever lived. In fact, his reputation for wisdom grew so large that leaders of other nations around Israel would flock to him with their problems, and he would help them work out their solutions. He was a wise man. In fact, over the course of his lifetime, he spoke more than 3,000 Proverbs and wrote over 1,000 songs. What we have here in the book of Proverbs is a repository of the very best wisdom that Solomon had to offer. In fact, this is God-inspired wisdom, for the scriptures say that all scripture is inspired of God and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what is this book? Well, here's what it is: a repository of divine wisdom come to us from God through the instrumentality of King Solomon, and it comes in the form of about 1,000 of these proverbial sayings. And what is this book for? Well, it is for imparting wisdom to us. If you look at verses 2 through 6, you'll notice a series of infinitive phrases. These give us the purposes of the book. Look what it says: to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So this book is a repository of divine wisdom, and it's here to impart wisdom to us. And that means it is here to give us spiritual understanding, first of all, to cultivate our mental apparatus, so that we are capable of discerning truth from falsehood, and goodness from evil, and beauty from ugliness. This book is designed to help us learn how to view every situation from the perspective of God, so that we know what the proper course of action to take is in any given situation. And in fact, it's not just to give us spiritual understanding, but it's designed to teach our wills to navigate through the complexities of life. Look again at verse 3. It says to receive instruction in wise dealing. So not just to give our head important knowledge, but also to give us the ability to live out that knowledge in the world. He explains wise dealing as living with righteousness and justice and equity. Righteousness is simply doing the right thing at all times. Justice and equity speak to doing right by other people at all times. So this book is here to help us think in straight lines and also to help us learn to navigate the path that is most consistent with God's wisdom. That's what this book is, and that's what this book is for. And who can benefit from this book? Well, anyone who is willing to receive its teachings. anyone who is willing to receive its teachings. Now, sometimes I will walk out of the bedroom in the morning, dressed and ready for work, and my wife will stop me and say, "Those clothes don't match." And depending on my disposition that morning, I will choose one of two courses of action. I will either go back into the bedroom and change my clothes, or I will dig in because I'm stubborn, and I will say, "I look good. What do you mean black and brown don't match?" Okay, I'm going out there just as I am. Okay, so once in a while, my wife will give me these instructions. They're good instructions, right? She doesn't want me to look like a fool as I'm out and about. But, right, the knowledge that she has imparted to me doesn't do me any good unless I have a disposition that's ready to welcome what she says to me, right? To accept the correction and the rebuke and the suggestions for better attire. Well, the same thing is true with the book of Proverbs. Here we have this amazing treasury of wisdom. It is a gold mine of information designed to help you live a good, godly life. But it's only going to do you good if you have the disposition that says, "I'm willing to receive the instructions. I can accept the corrections that this book wants to make to my thought processes, or to the direction that my life is currently heading in. I'm ready to receive that and to alter course." Now, King Solomon envisions two kinds of people who could really benefit from this book. The first he identifies in verse 4 as the simple, and then at the end of the verse he calls them the youth. He's describing the same person here, though, the simple or the youth. Now, these words are not meant to be derogatory. They're simply describing the person who is on the cusp of intellectual maturity. And this person is right there at the dawn of adulthood. They're about to strike out on their own, and they see different paths lying in front of them. And one path is filled with the voices of prevailing culture. And these voices are saying, "Follow this path, come with us. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live the good life with us." But then there's another path, maybe represented by parents or pastors or godly teachers, and they're saying, "No, come this way instead. Follow the ways of God. This will lead to the good life." And we have the youth, or the simple, doesn't have much life experience yet, has some knowledge, but not a lot, and now they're about to embark on adulthood, and they see the different paths, and all the voices are calling out to them, saying, "Come, we know what's best, you ought to follow us." This book is written for people in that position especially. I imagine that we have a number in this category within the Grace Baptist Church family. We have a number of high school students, some recent high school grads, people in college just embarking on their adult lives. Maybe you find yourself in this position right now. Maybe you've been raised a certain way, but now you're about to get out from under your parents' roof, and it seems like the whole world is now open to you, and you're trying to decide what course of action you should take. Right? Should I go along with the prevailing culture? Should I continue on the path that my parents and my church have set for me? We're both wrong, and am I supposed to strike out in a third direction now? And you're wrestling with those kinds of questions. Well, this book is made for you. It's here for you. And you have a special opportunity to really benefit from our study of this book. But if you're going to benefit, something's going to have to be true of you during the series. You're going to have to be receptive to the message of the book. That means you're going to have to enter the study of this book with an open mind. Be prepared to accept that what this book teaches really is the right way to go. You must give honest consideration to the observations and life lessons that this book provides. And you must allow God himself to speak to you through this book. You see, if it is true, and I believe it is, that Proverbs is a divinely inspired treasury of wisdom, that means that if you approach this book, mind open, heart ready, God will speak to you through this book. He will confirm with his own self-testimony that this is his way, and it is best. It's good for you if you will follow it. Well, there's another group of individuals that this book is designed to benefit. And that's those who are already wise but want to learn more. You see that in verse 5. He says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands to obtain guidance." So you've got the youth who is just embarking on life. This book is for them to set them on the right path. But then it's also for those who long ago made the commitment that they're going to walk down the path of discipleship. Okay? They're going to follow God as he is revealed in Christ and in his word. And they have been heading down this path for some time, but they've not yet reached the end of their life's journey. And so this book is there as their companion through the rest of their days to give them more and more insight, to help them to continue navigating the challenges of life in a wise way. Now, within the Grace Baptist Church family, we have a number of youths, but we also have a number of seasoned Christians. Some of you have been believers longer than I've been alive, and you have walked in faithfulness all this time. And now perhaps you're in the final stretch. I mean, your kids are grown up and they're out of the house, and the grandkids are growing up, and you have retired from your work, and you know, you're in that final stretch trying to be faithful to the end. Maybe you even think that you've done it all, seen it all, lived it all already. There's nothing left for you to learn. Well, this book would say, no, there is new truth to be gleaned until your last breath. So this book is for the youth, but it's also for the seasoned Christian. But both of you have to be willing to receive it. You cannot dismiss this and say, oh, I've already learned all the wisdom that I'm capable of learning. Now I'm just going to take it easy for the final stretch. No, you need to be prepared for what this book might have for you as well. My friends, we are embarking on a remarkable study. This book has its origins in the mind of God. He channeled his wisdom through his king, Solomon, a prophet king. And he has inspired these words so that we can read these words and derive divine wisdom for living ourselves. This book is here to give us spiritual understanding so that we can see the true nature of things, so that you can see reality, so that you can understand the human heart the way that God does. This is here so that you can then take that spiritual knowledge and know how to live in a world that is extremely complex and full of people who don't have regard for God, how to choose the right voices in a world where you are being screamed at from all directions, and sometimes you're not sure which voices are lying to you and which are telling the truth, or which ones have your best interest at heart, or which ones are just trying to make a power grab. This book is here to help you navigate all of those complexities of life. You can benefit from this book if you will simply keep an open mind as you read. Allow God to do his work in you. If you're young, accept the teachings of an older, wiser man, King Solomon, seeing behind them the wisdom of God. If you're already old and wise, don't think there's no more wisdom for you to obtain. Study it well. And with this, I will close the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the book of Proverbs, Lord. And as we come to the close of these opening verses, I pray that you would help us to be willing to receive what it has for us. More than just under 1,000 of these little sayings that touch down into the nitty-gritty details of our lives, showing us your mind on each of these matters. Lord, help us to be receptive to this so that we know what path to follow, so that we know what voices to heed. Lord, I thank you for those who have already set upon a godly path. And Lord, would you confirm them in that path? Help them to persevere right through to the end. Thank you for those just beginning the journey, and they too desire to be faithful and wise. Lord, be with all of us as we study this book. Pray that you would be pleased with the remainder of this service and with the remainder of this morning together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if